Being a professional isn't about the money you make, the position you hold, your level of expertise, or fame. It's the motivation and the attitude you bring to your work. A desire for always learning and improving, and balancing your creative output with getting the business done. Welcome and join the Creating Pros.
Hi, and welcome back to Creating Pros. I'm your host, Jim Nettles. This week, I want to take a look a little bit here at notions of success. And most importantly, I want to talk a little bit about the notions of fear and success. How does fear impact our ability to be successful? How does fear impact what we do, what we don't do, how we approach life, how we approach our creative work? All of these different kinds of moving pieces. And fear and success are intrinsically linked. Fear is one of those things that is a primal emotion. It exists for us because it's there to keep us alive. It's there to help us make good decisions. It's there to help us learn from our experiences. Even so, often what we find is that fear also causes us to make counterproductive decisions. It causes us to not necessarily make the best decisions or take the best long-term actions for who we are, what we want to do, how we want to approach life. And I think one of the things that we get into and dive into, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it, but there's an interesting thing called behavioral economics. It's a science that was largely founded in the late 70s. You can find a lot of information about Daniel Kahneman, Amos Tversky, a number of others that helped create this notion of ideas as to what do we do, why do we do it. So as an individual, individuals make decisions based on who we are, what we're doing. What gets really interesting is, though, over time and over large groups of people, we can predict what people are largely going to do. It can be broken down to the notion, if you've been listening to anything in the AI space, the technology space, you've probably heard a lot about the word heuristics. You know, humans are built, as are most animals, to use and build heuristic decision-making processes over time. What does that mean? It means we take all of our experiences, we take the ways we were raised. It means we take everything that goes on around us. We learn through these processes. And every time we learn something new, we incorporate many of those learnings into what we go to do next. So if we have something that is a positive experience from having done something, we'll incorporate that and maybe we'll pursue that positive experience again. If we hit something that's a negative experience, a negative challenge, well, we're going to try to generally shortcut it to avoid ever repeating that experience once again. And all of this over time, this builds up the level of what we call heuristic data. And it builds up our level of our personal biases, our personal experience, so that fundamentally as people, we are risk avoidant. Most people avoid risk like the plague because we are fearful of potentially negative consequences. And generally, we're way more afraid of something negative happening than we are potentially enthusiastic about something positive happening, or being able to build on those positive experiences, the successes we have, the gains we have. In looking at a lot of the kind of game theory exercises, the sorts of things that we can see and do in game development, a lot of the time we as people will take actions to make sure we don't lose instead of trying to do things that allow us to win. When we look at a lot of the friends around us, when we look at a lot of family, supporters, everything else, we see a lot of people that are reinforcing that not only for themselves, but for us as well. It's the old crab pot mentality. That notion that we don't want to see anyone fail. This is one of the biggest challenges I think we currently see in society now, is this notion that failure is bad. That because something doesn't work, doesn't succeed, that that's inherently bad and that we should avoid it. When in truth, negative experiences, times when things don't go to plan are the times that we learn the most. It's the times that we are personally challenged. We get to find out what we do, why do we do it? Because often one of the biggest problems we can have, and if we can look at this and see this in athletes, we can see this in people that are, you know, successful right out the gate, people that, you know, make great discoveries young in life and have not had certain levels of experience to that point. You see people who maybe get a big contract, get the big payday, get the big job, and become too risk tolerant. They don't have the experience to see and understand when risks are coming. And when those things happen without proper guidance, those people often can crash and burn rather hard. We've seen this happen with people's ability to know themselves. And so where's the sweet spot here, right? How do we decide what our levels of risk tolerance are? How do we make better and more informed decisions? How does fear really affect our ability to be successful? You know, as writers, as creatives, we all see a lot of tropes that show up and we talk about collectively within our communities, right? We hear a lot of things about, well, I'm just going to procrastinate. I'm going to go do research on this until whenever, because I'm trying to avoid doing the actual work itself, right? I'm going to go research this subject, this topic, because if I go research it for long enough, then I can put off actually having to write the piece, the article, the story, whatever the case may be. Or maybe we will use the notion of it has to be perfect, whatever that means, because there is no such thing as perfect. It's an impossible standard. So we have to find what that level is of solid and quality and that thing that means what we need to do. We always want to go for that high bar, but it still has to be an achievable process, and perfectionism is never achievable. We got kind of get into this notion of self-sabotage, right? We start going and finding reasons not to be successful. We find things that aren't problems and we make them problems. We go looking for those challenges that don't need to be there and put those in our own ways. And when we do that, ultimately what we wind up doing is we quit. Sometimes and often we will quit when success is within our grasp. It's in reach. It's one of those things that we can see it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. We're finding more and more success. Well, then we go tie deeper and deeper into that notion of self-destructive behavior, right? We go and we will, again, put more obstacles in our way. Why would we do all of this? Why would we give up and quit? Well, a lot of the time, this is all about a fear of success. Why would we be fearful of success? Why would we try to avoid success? Well, for a lot of us, we're not comfortable with that notion of being the successful. Because if you are successful, then people want to build off of that. They want to leverage you for it. You begin to wonder, is all of your value only because of being successful? Do we like to avoid being the center of attention? I mean, as creatives, many of us are introspective, we're introverted. And that notion of praise, that notion of being seen can create a lot of anxiety, right? So we have to kind of find ways to work past these things. But that doesn't mean that you can't be that introverted person and be successful. Doesn't mean that we can't grow beyond and become bigger and more successful than our parents and our grandparents. Because historically, that's what we've always wanted. You know, you want to see your friends and family be more successful. But the problem is underlying that notion of success is always that notion of, well, what happens if they fail? It's that notion of fear. You know, how does it manifest, right? I was looking at and was reading through some stuff on the notions of anxiety, how anxiety comes into play, why anxiety exists in, you know, in us. Why do we manage things this way? Well, anxiety is one of these things that keeps us alive. It keeps us alert. If you are somebody who has a fair degree of anxiety, there's usually a lot of good reasons for that. And it's one of those things that serves to help keep us aware. It helps to keep us alive. But anxiety can also, unchecked, stop us from doing the things to be successful. And anxiety is one of those things that if we can learn to manage it appropriately and have an appropriate level of anxiety, it can be one of the best tools in the toolbox to help keep ourselves in check. It means we stay alert, means we stay aware, means we know what's going on around us, but it's not debilitating. It doesn't stop us from taking action. What it means is that we pay attention. And that's really the main purpose of anxiety, is to cause us to pay attention to the world around us. Look for threats, but also look for opportunity. And it's when things become out of whack and out of check that anxiety goes from being the looking and being hyper aware to where it becomes a tool where we become so hyper aware that everything causes fear. At that point, it causes us to shut down. But if you can learn to manage and keep a reasonable level of anxiety so that you're always aware of what's going on, this can be a huge benefit to you. Same way, if you're not having enough of sort of that level of awareness around yourself, this can cause you to miss things too. And that's often what causes problems as well. Notions of success, you know, it brings a lot of pressure, right? Success comes from pushing ourselves, pushing others, having others push us. There's a lot of pressure attached to finding success, whether it's getting that big contract, whether it's selling a big piece, whether it's, you know, getting to be on some media and do some kind of big successful project, right? Well, there's a lot of pressure that comes with that, because once you've been successful, then you've got to step your game up. What's the next tier of success, and the next, and the next, and the next? That kind of pressure can put a lot on us to then, how do you stay competitive? How do you keep moving up the food chain? If we look at athletes who have lived their entire lives under pressure, under stress, in that competitive moment until they retire, and then all of a sudden they don't have that pressure. They don't have purpose. Pressure and purpose can go together and again be that thing that we help work through and manage. You know, often what happens is if we start hitting too much pressure, we start getting that, we lose all of our motivation, because if we take our foot off the gas, that makes it really easy, because if we find a little bit of success that we're comfortable with, we take our foot off the gas so that we're still comfortable. Comfort is often the enemy. Comfort means that we can hit a point where I'm fine, I'm happy, I don't need to push any further. Comfort is what stops us from making progress. Comfort is what really can lead us to the point of, we're here, we can stop. Now, that being said, there are healthy things where we should be comfortable, and there are healthy levels of discomfort. There are unhealthy levels of comfort and discomfort, right? We don't want to be sitting in the position of being starving, without shelter, without being safe from the elements. We want to make sure that we're all relatively safe and secure. But at the same time, we shouldn't be trying to stress ourselves so much that we have that belief that creativity comes from discomfort. Is there truth in that? Absolutely. We've seen many great creative works come because of the stresses that those creators were under. There's great value in that. But that's because they were sharing their life experience. And from that life experience, sometimes you find that success. And if you're not prepared for that success, once again, this becomes a challenge. Now, if you are one of those people who makes and finds success from having been through challenges and struggles and everything else, there can be that notion of guilt of, well, I was only successful because. Or maybe you feel guilt because you don't want to find too much success, because if you find too much success, you're going to move past friends, past family. You've got that idea you're going to have to give up certain things to get something better. All of that notion of comfort and discomfort and guilt and the way all of these things package themselves together becomes a bundle that causes us to continue to just sit where we are. It kills creativity. It kills a lot of that notion and desire for success. It is one of those things where if you have that feeling that finding personal and professional success is to you evil, then that's something you need to look at and work on. Because ultimately, finding success just means that we as people have more resources to help to do the things that we want to in life. Some of those things for our friends and family, for ourselves personally. But if we have success, that gives us more tools by which we can also do more things to be in service of the world. And success is one of those things where it does add a greater level of pressure, because then we have a certain degree of obligation as well to make sure that we're doing the right things we can for our friends, our family, our communities, and for the world at large. If we look at how success can manifest, and how sometimes we see people becoming hyper successful and then the people that they reveal themselves to be, well, that comes from the fact that they were always that person. And what we're often seeing here are how they manage these same points of fear, is because now they're fearful of losing that success. They're fearful that others are going to try to take some of that from them. If we're successful, there's an old notion of a rising tide lifts all ships. But one of the big things is you got to make sure you're on the boat when it goes out to sea, or you may be watching your own boat go out with everybody else. It is much easier to try to be jealous of and to try to destroy the work of others and other people's successes than it is to try to find your own. Where does this come from? Well, number one, a lot of this does come from how we're raised as children, childhood and you know, experiences. You know, the way that if you grow up in happy, healthy childhood home, you don't necessarily have the same kinds of fears and doubts as somebody who grew up in a place where they may have been hungry, or may have, you know, not had a lot of opportunity, or may have been in a place where there was abuse and lots of struggle. Well, depending on that, that's going to be a really big determiner of how you look at life. You know, if we have to go through all of that, and the first thing we do is we've started much of our life in some degree of survival mode, not in a mode of growth, well, that's going to impact us going into life. You know, if we have found degrees of success, but you know, in small increments, and then have a big loss, right? For example, let's say that you start a business and you get a couple of awards, or you make some small growth. You're able then to step out of a day job into running your business. Well, that's successful. Well, then you think you understand everything about business and you take a big gamble and lose. Maybe you lose everything. Well, that kind of an experience is one of those things that teaches us a lot when it happens. But also when that happens, a lot of the time people will stop at that point and say, nope, I'm just going to go back to what I consider or think of as safe. I'm going to go back to getting the day job. I'm going to go back to this. I'm going to go back to this because it's safe. You know, if we look at sometimes finding success means that we're going to get jealousy, we're going to get backlash, we're going to get a lot of maybe hate on Twitter or Threads or Facebook or wherever the case may be. Because again, one of the big challenges we face is that successful people will face jealousy. Because it is, again, easier to look at those people who may have found success than to work towards and find your own success. All of these are things that we see often wrapped up in imposter syndrome. A few weeks back, you know, I did a show talking a bit about imposter syndrome. All of these things feed into that notion of imposter syndrome and how we work with it and deal with it. And I've got an upcoming interview and a show. We're going to dive deeper into imposter syndrome, but all of these things feed together. You know, if you go back to where we started this show, this notion of heuristics, right? How we learn, the shortcuts we create mentally, all come from these kinds of inputs. So what do we do? How can we start to make progress and learn to find the healthy levels of behavior, healthy levels of our mental attitudes, our mindsets? How do we look at and approach ways of dealing with wanting to find success instead of avoiding failure? Because it's really what we're talking about here is the notion of not being successful, but avoiding failure. When I started talking about behavioral economics, there have been a lot of studies in this place. And a lot of the time, what we see is people are more afraid to lose $5 than they are to win $10. In other words, if I have to risk $5 and I might win $10, I'm probably more likely not going to risk the $5 and the potential opportunity. But maybe I'll risk $5 to win $100. I'll win at risk $5 to win $1,000. Or maybe it's just even the notion that any risk at all is bad. Well, every day is a risk. Every time we get up, every time we go outside, everything we do has some inherent level of risk to it. That's not bad. Doesn't mean there's an active threat around every corner. It just means we have to be aware of who we are, what we do, and the choices we make, and be ready to understand those consequences, both good and bad. Success can bring consequences we may not necessarily like. For example, think about it. If you are become celebrity and all of a sudden you have paparazzi following you, well, that's not something generally most people want to have. Is that side of it is that when you find levels of fame and success, there are going to be consequences that we're not comfortable with as people, because again, generally most people only want to be visible in the spotlight so much. We want the fiscal rewards. We want the accolades. We want to be recognized for our work, but not necessarily so much that everybody's chasing us down. Everybody wants something from us, right? There's that notion of where's this happy point? So how do you find the right level of discomfort to keep pushing you forward to be successful? How do you go about taking the small wins and building on them and building on them and building on them? How do you feel that you are worthy of the rewards and success that come? Because if you work for long enough, if you put in the time, you will find success. It may not come the way you think it will. It may not look like you think it should. But if you put in the time and the work, you really will find degrees of success. You will find your audience. You will find your reach. You'll find your impact. So how do you go about doing this over time? Because the first thing is that this is a process of steps. It's a process of a journey. It's not, for most of us, ever going to be the big lottery win. And realistically, the big immediate lottery win can be the most unhealthy and most destructive thing that most people will ever encounter. Because if you get it and you don't have the sense of worth and the sense of value, You could win $1 billion tomorrow and be broke in a year. We see it happen all the time. And the reason for this is that people feel like they didn't earn it. They don't deserve it. They didn't do something, or that they need to pull all of their people along with them. And so what happens is that money evaporates and goes away. So how do we make sure we're there and we are prepared for success? And the way we prepare for success is how we learn and we grow to deal with all of these notions of fear and all of these roadblocks that can step in our way. And the first step there is always to just acknowledge the fear, acknowledge the risks. You know, be aware of what are the things that you're afraid of with success. Is it you don't want to be recognized? Is it the fact that you don't want friends and family to look down on you for having been successful? You have to understand, what does that fear mean to you and what are you afraid of? This is a lot of the first step in the process. So what that means is, acknowledge the fact that you are fearful. We all are fearful. We all have those fears. Once you know what that is, then you have to dive deep into that. And this can be a painful process. Maybe it's therapy. Maybe it is just a lot of self-work. But all of this is building up your level of self-awareness. It is tuning yourself so that you're willing and able to understand what levels of risks you're willing to take and what levels of success you're able to step into now. This does mean being very self-aware. This does mean a lot of time in reflection. This means a lot of time looking at yourself and being really honest and true with yourself about what things look like. You know, this is where you have to be ready to move past those levels and learn to be comfortable in being uncomfortable. Comfort is, again, the enemy. It's that point of, if you're too comfortable, you wrap up in the blankets and you just sit and wait for life to go by. And that's what the vast majority of people ultimately will do. But if creative people are inherently curious, creative people are inherently explorative, and creative people are inherently looking to have an impact. So be aware of that. Stimulate that curiosity. Reward yourself for your wins, and then understand the challenges and the perceived losses you'll face over time. Learn from them so you don't repeat those mistakes, but never be afraid of making a mistake. Never be afraid of something not working like you would expect. And going past that, once you learn to acknowledge and understand what you're afraid of and why, start to visualize, start to understand, what does success mean to you? Create those goals, create those targets, create those ideas. Define what your level of success is, and make sure that level of success is something you're uncomfortable with, because that level of success has to be something you believe is achievable, but something way more than what you're comfortable with. And if you can do all of that, then you've got a much greater shot at finding and reaching and hitting those levels of success and finding what it is you want to get out of your life, out of your creativity, out of your business, out of your relationships, because these things are true of not just out of creative output or creative business. This is true of life in general. We all have to learn to accommodate those things for which we're afraid, where they cause us to have anxiety, where they cause us to have stress. And often one of the biggest challenges we see people have to face is when they do find success. Because finding success means then you are now under a new level of pressure to find the next level and the next level and the next level. But here's the good news. Success breeds success. Joy breeds more joy. Conversely, misery breeds misery. failure can breed more failure, or failure can just be the motivation and the learning you needed to figure out what it is that you needed to know. Because again, at the end of the day, when we all started out as little kids, we had to learn to crawl. We had to learn to walk. We fell a bunch. We got scrapes and bumps and bruises. The rest of life is no different. It's just a little bit further to fall down and get back up these days than it was when I was a year old. Doesn't mean I'm afraid to fall. Doesn't mean I'm afraid to try to challenge myself. It just means that sometimes it takes a little bit longer to heal. But that doesn't mean that you should be afraid of doing that. It should be learning to embrace it, learning to accept it, and ultimately learning how to, you know, make it a bigger part of yourself overall, and learning to view it as a part of your body, your mind, your soul, your spirit, all those good things. And if you can do all of this, and you can find it and include this as a part of your self-care routines, you can make this all part of how you make your life better, your world better, then this will make you a better person too. So until next week, this has been Creating Pros. Go and face that fear and take care of yourselves out there. We'll see you again next week.